Imagine yourself as an 80-year-old shepherd taking care of your sheep in a lonely place. 40 years before, you were filled with great enthusiasm and great plans for God. But those plans didn't turn out like you thought they would. And so now, 40 years later, here you are just wandering through some old dusty wilderness. Hope is dead. You feel like ambition is gone. All you're concerned with now is just keeping your flock alive, finding a good place for them to graze. And you reconcile to the fact that this is the way life has turned out. This is all there is. But then one day you find out that God has a surprise for you. One day you're with your sheep, you're thinking about just the events of the day, nothing in particular, but something catches your attention. Off in the distance, you see something burning. And you want to go closer to investigate. And as you grow closer, you see that this is this bush that is burning. This dry, thorny bush in that area continues to burn. And that catches your attention because you would think, well, this dry bush would just burn up pretty fast around here. But it continues to burn. And as you approach the bush, the real surprise comes because out of that burning bush, from the flame, you hear a voice speaking your name, Moses, Moses. And you reply, I am here. And that voice continues. It says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. How would you feel at that moment? I imagine that our hearts would be beating a little bit faster. We might even cover our eyes. And we realize that we are in the presence of the God of the universe. In realizing that God has a very special task, a very special mission just for you. Now, take that scenario and think about another one. Not just some dusty, dry desert with sheep, but think about this comfortable auditorium that we're sitting in this morning. Padded pews, nice breeze with the fans, no burning bush, just familiar faces, familiar pulpit, same old preacher, no great booming voice. Maybe you stayed up a little too late last night, or you came here not really expecting anything different to happen. Just another Sunday. It's certainly not as dramatic as a scene as it was the one that I described a moment ago. But I want us to understand this morning that we are still standing in the presence of God. It is holy ground this morning, for the Lord is present. If you would, turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 3, and I want to read this story to you in Exodus chapter 3 this morning. And as you're turning there, I don't know if you like to go barefooted or not. There's some people who just don't like to wear shoes, or maybe you work hard all day. I know some of you guys are like that. You wear your work boots and you work hard all day long, and you can't wait to get home to take your shoes off. Why do you do that? Well, you do that for comfort's sake, right? Or maybe in your house, you know, the rule is take your shoes off before you come in, and you do that for cleanliness. It's a reason why you do that. But when Moses took his shoes off in this story, it wasn't just a matter of comfort, and it wasn't just for cleanliness. There was a reason, because Moses encounters God for the very first time. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So after Moses' bare feet hit holy ground, I want us to understand from this moment on, the life of Moses would never be the same again. Because it is this moment that God calls Moses into service to accomplish this special purpose that he had for him. God had been working on Moses for a long time, about 80 years, in fact. And it was this barefooted moment that Moses became the great leader in the Old Testament. We know that God would use Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery. And through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, he would use Moses to lead the children of Israel to the border of the Promised Land. Moses would receive from God all the laws that would govern them until Jesus came. Through Moses, God made his covenant with Israel. And it all began right here at this moment on this holy ground. And so think about that, if you will. Moses in this very wilderness where he will lead the children of Israel. He's at the mountain of God. He's going to receive the Ten Commandments, God's covenant for his people. But at this reading, he's standing before the presence of God before a burning bush. Now, you think about this as a dry, dusty wilderness, perhaps snakes and scorpions and all sorts of poisonous things. This wouldn't be a place where I would want to go barefooted. But Moses, so probably was not really comfortable at this moment. But it wasn't about comfort. God wanted Moses to recognize that wherever God is, he deserves the utmost respect. And before God can tell us what he requires of us, what he expects out of us, well, I think what God is doing is that he wants us to acknowledge, first of all, exactly who he is. You see, I hope we can be reminded this morning that we are in the presence of God right here, right now. And we could be in the presence of God even outside of this building, of course. But understand that when we approach God, we are approaching him on holy ground. And we must first be willing to acknowledge his holiness. And this is what God is doing with Moses before he gives him this great task. When I mention this idea of holiness, I wonder if it would be a compliment to us if someone would say, "You are holy." How would we respond to that? Because I think when it comes to the subject of holiness, we might have a little bit of a negative connotation towards that and think, well, somebody might accuse me of being a holy roller or somebody who thinks they're just holier than thou. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be called that. And so we might have some mixed feelings about that. But what about another question? Do you consider yourself holy? And so when you think about that question, well, then you might get a little bit uncomfortable and think, well, boy, I don't know if I can consider myself, you know, that way. I might consider myself joyful. I might consider myself as loving. But what about describing myself that way? But you see, I want us to understand that God says you are to be holy as I am holy. Just as we read in our reading not too long ago in 1 Peter chapter 1. And if God calls us to be holy, well then God reveals enough about himself to expect us to follow through with that command with an obedient response. Because what God is going to do with Moses is he is going to give Moses a glimpse of his character as he calls him in to service. You see, it makes sense for us, if God is going to expect us to be holy, that God is going to reveal to us how he is holy. And I think it's important for us to grasp this concept. It's important for us to talk about how to live good moral lives, but I think it goes farther than that. It goes beyond that. Because in order to do that, we must truly understand who God is. Because we might live good moral lives without ever knowing who God is. So let's think about that concept this morning as Moses stands on holy ground. And God reveals that he is holy. Let's just consider that for a moment. Holiness is the only attribute of God that is mentioned three times together, holy holy, holy, holy. We'll look at Isaiah chapter 6 in just a moment, but also in the book of Revelation as well. Holy, holy, holy. And you think about that. If God mentions something about his character just once, or about himself just once, well, of course, that is important. But consider the fact that it is said he is holy, holy, holy. I think that tells us that this is of utmost importance, because the Bible never says that God is love, 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 or he is mercy, 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 which in fact, of course, he is. But it does say that he is holy, holy, holy. And we might intellectually just accept that and grasp that and get that concept and say, yeah, I know God is holy, but what exactly does that mean? Well, when we apply it to ourselves, well, we would say that that just means that we're separate from the world. We're different from the world. We're distinct, and we're a unique group of people. But what does it mean for God to be holy? You know, one person said that holiness is the centerpiece of God's attributes. And I like that, because at the very center of God, at the very center of his being, is his holiness. God's holiness is central to understanding every other aspect of his character. You know, it's been suggested we don't understand the concept of God's holiness as we should because of the society that we live in. When we think about holiness, we can use the word and maybe the idea of sacred. It is special. And things that are sacred and special to God in our culture aren't considered that. I mean, just consider marriage in our culture. Marriage isn't considered anything that is sacred or special. And so because of that, we might not truly grasp what holiness really is. But I want to suggest to you that before we can treat God as holy and before we can live holy lives, we have to understand what it really means. And so R.C. Sproul says this in one of his books. I think it's a great reminder. It's a really good reminder about his holiness. And he says this: the first prayer I learned as a child was this simple prayer: God is great, God is good, we thank him for this food. That's a simple prayer. But he goes on to say, those two virtues assigned to God in this prayer, greatness and goodness, may be captured by one biblical word: holy. That is captured in his holiness. And I think that's an interesting take on that. So I want us to think about that for a moment. These two aspects of God's holiness, of his greatness and his goodness. So let's first of all consider the fact that God is great. We, of course, know that in the Bible, holiness means set apart. We might even use words like sanctified or the word saint as well. It's the idea of just being set apart. We as Christians are set apart for the service of God. And of course, it means being different, as I mentioned a moment ago. But think about that. Just think about the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day for the Jews, well, that was a holy day. Why? Well, because it was a special day. It was a day that was set apart as a day of rest to draw near to God. Or think about the temple. The temple was a holy building. Why? What was it about the temple? Well, it was different than every other building. It was a building that was set apart to worship God and offer sacrifices. That's why it's considered holy. So what does it mean that God is holy? What does it mean if we say that God is set apart? Set apart from what? Well, I think we could say, of course, he is set apart from us. He is wholly different than us. He's in a class all by himself. He is great. He is wholly other, as it's been said. Just consider a few of these verses. Exodus chapter 15, Moses says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious or majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds, doing wonders? Who is like you? God is great because of his holiness. Hannah would pray in 1 Samuel 2, at verse 2, there is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. And then in Isaiah 40, at verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Who will you compare me to that I should be like him, says the Holy One. You see, God's holiness is incomparable. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I mentioned we'd go there. Let's go over there and look at this, because this is another great, great scene, this throne scene in Isaiah chapter 6, that we get a glimpse of God's holiness through Isaiah. Let's just look at this on Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 at verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe was filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." Now, I just want you to notice the reaction from Isaiah here when he comes face to face and gets this glimpse of the holiness of God. This reaction is one of confession, because he goes on to say, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So think about this picture here. Here we see the Lord sitting on a throne. He is high and lifted up, and it mentions the train of his robe fills the entire temple. Back in the 50s, when Queen Elizabeth attended her coronation ceremony, she was wearing a gown that was 21 feet long, I think it was, that wrapped around, and it signified to the people that the queen was different, that the queen was special, and she had a special position. She was sovereign. She was in a position of authority, and it separated her from the people. Well, just consider this picture in Isaiah chapter 6. God is separated from all people because of his holiness, and his robe filled the entire temple. And it makes the point that because of God, he is sovereign. Because of his holiness, he has all authority, and no one, nothing can compare to his power. Nothing can compare to his glory. God is the holiness. The whole earth, it says, is full of his glory. And all of that flows from his holiness, because he has no equal. God is holy because he is great, because there is nothing or anything that is comparable to him. But then the second aspect of God's holiness I want you to consider is the fact that God is good. God does what is right. Of course, we understand and grasp the concept that God never does wrong. God, unlike us, is unstained by sin. God does not bend a little here and there when it comes to wrongdoing. God always acts in righteousness, and he does that because of his very nature. He acts in righteousness because of his holy nature. Job said this in Job 34, verse 10. "Therefore, hear me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong." So think about that. That God is great, there is none like him, and God is good. God can do no wrong. He is unstained by sin. But then when I think about this definition, I think about maybe there's a sense in which when we try to define God's holiness and say these things, we might just be saying God is holy because God is God. God is holy because God is God. I mean, in order for a person or a building or a day to be holy, as we described a moment ago, it must be set apart from the world. And just like that temple, it was set apart for God. It was devoted to God. But what does God separate himself from in order to be God? Well, we mentioned he separates, of course, himself from sin. But I think about when Moses asked for his name in Isaiah chapter 3 at verse 14. A little bit later on in this story of Exodus chapter 3. It says in verse 14 where Moses says, In verse 13, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He says, say this to the people, say, I am has sent me to you. You see, his being, his character are undetermined by anything outside of himself. And God is not holy because he keeps the rules. God made the rules. God is not holy because he keeps the law. The law simply reveals God's holiness. And so I say that to just say that this, I think, is a big concept really for us to grasp. But as we study the scripture and as we read, there's so many passages that we could look at this morning that just describe the holiness of God and mention how no one is comparable. Nothing is comparable to God. It demands a response from us. And so that's what we need to ask. If God says, you be holy for I am holy, well, we need to know, how do we respond to this holiness? What does God expect from us? Well, God is holy and he demands a holy people. But God says to Moses, take off your sandals, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. So what's the very first response that God is saying to Moses that he should have? Take your sandals, you are standing on holy ground. What God is revealing to Moses is, if you're going to approach me, if you're going to come to me, you better take me seriously. Because no one can approach me on their own terms. If you approach me, you got to come to me on my terms. I am the one in authority. And if you would, turn your Bible to the book of Leviticus. I want you to notice in Leviticus chapter 9. In Leviticus chapter 9. Because when you read through the book of Leviticus, it's clear. There's some stuff to wade through in the book of Leviticus. But one thing becomes clear is that God is holy and he demands a holy people. And at the end of Leviticus chapter 9, at the end of this chapter, the whole chapter is about the people of Israel who are preparing for God. God has promised that he would appear to his people. And in verse 23, I want you to notice this in Leviticus 9 and verse 23. It says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The glory of the Lord appears to all the people. Now, how do they respond to this? Well, look at verse 24. The fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted. I think the NIV says they shouted with joy. They shouted, and then they fell on their faces. Why did they do that? Because they were in the presence of a holy God. It was both a wonderful, joyful experience at that time, but then on the other hand, it was also a terrifying experience because they recognized that they are in the midst of a holy God. And you better take him seriously, because the very next chapter tells us about a few people who didn't take him seriously. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. So you see that principle once again of what he was teaching Moses, and what we see here in the book of Leviticus as well, is you must take me seriously. This relationship must go forward on my terms. And then in the very next chapter, chapter 11, at verse 45, look at this. Leviticus 11, at verse 45. Scripture says, "For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Maybe one reason we don't at times respond to God or come to Him on His terms or obey His commands is because we're not taking Him seriously enough. What I want us to come away with this morning is that when we see God for who He is, when we come face to face with His holiness, it will change us. We will never be the same. And so you think about this God who speaks out of the burning bush, where He makes Moses take his shoes off because it is holy ground. It is this same God who speaks to us today. And I don't mean that He speaks to us through some bush or some better felt than told experience. What I mean is that today God speaks to us through His Word. And we must approach Him and His Word seriously, coming to Him on His terms and recognizing the fact that God is great and that God is awesome. And that'll give us the courage. That'll give us the strength to live a holy life. I think about Moses. I think about Moses after this moment. Moses went back to Pharaoh. I mean, he went a changed man. He now had a mission from God who was holy. And Moses stands up before the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he knew that my God is bigger than any of your fake gods. They don't compare. And it's only when we know God as He truly is that we will respond to Him the way that we should. When we know how great and how good He is, that is when we will be compelled to follow Him. God is calling. Could be you're here this morning. He's calling you to become a Christian, to put Him on in baptism. Or maybe He's calling you to make some changes in your life. Or maybe He's calling on you to take up some task, some area of service where He expects a response, an obedient response from you. Remember, He has revealed to us who He is. But whatever call that is, He demands an obedient response. Think about these things as we stand and sing.